Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. When you were single, you only had to worry about you. But once you're married, you have to start thinking about how you can bless your wife or your husband, if you're a woman listening to this. Then, when you became a father, it suddenly dawns on you that you have a family to take care of. I can remember thinking at the ripe old age of 19 that I was married and a dad. And I was still a teenager. I mean, I was still trying to find my way, and now I had a family that was looking to me to be a provider and to be a leader. And I may add, I was not born again at that time, and I wasn't born again for many years from that time, sad to say. But what do you do when that realization comes? What do you do when your family is now looking to you to be the leader and the provider? Well, that's what we'll be discussing today with my guest, Dan Lewis. Dan is a U.S. Army veteran, praise God, and he's a coach for the Accelerate Mastermind Group. He's on the advisory board for the Good Dad Project. He's been featured on the Good Dad Podcast. Dan is also an insurance salesman at the insurance store located in Chesterfield, Missouri, and is a leader in insurance sales through using referrals. He is the host of the Journey of the Christian Dad podcast as well. Praise God, another podcaster. Help me welcome to the program, Dan Lewis. Dan, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity, Pastor Bob. This is just awesome.
Amen. Now, the first question I always ask is, other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Dan Lewis?
That brief intro, that really caught my heart one day. I was just feeling it. I'm like, I'm, you know, married and no kids. And I prayed that kids would be on the way. And I just felt that, you know, responsibility and needed some help. That was for darn sure. So I guess two things, you know, Jesus made it real simple. Hey, what's the most important commandment? And that was a trap. And he answered, you know, real simply with, Love God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's really like a principle that I've tried to filter all my thinking and everything through. And then in the business world, you know, help others get what they want, and then you'll get what you want. So a couple principles in life where I'm just always looking out for people and everything. Been married 17 years. Praise and God. Got two daughters. One's 8, one's 7. They're both very, very different, full of love, and I learned so much stuff through them. It's unbelievable.
Amen. Amen. I'm just curious, how long have you been doing insurance now?
It's been 10 years now.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, as we
talking before. That's a whole nother story there, but quickly. As life goes, you get thrown curveballs here and there, and you're you know, praying to God and saying, give me some direction and different things. And had a couple high and inside fastballs come my way and thought, whoa, I'm not quite sure where this is going. And I said, are you sure you want me to go into this career where I'm not going to make any money at the very beginning? And how am I going to provide for my family and all these things? And I can remember the day clearly with, you know, where I'm at now. I was in tears. I'm like, it was just revealed to me one day, you know, take this highway and go this direction and meet these guys. And like, I'm going to prosper you. I'm just going to give you so much abundance. You're not going to see it right now, but trust me. Oh, and he made it so incredibly clear. The sun was coming down as I was crossing this bridge. It was cloudy. And then all of a sudden I hit this bridge and the sun comes out and a song comes on the radio, you know, coming home and like, this is it. This is it. And then, you know, had a meeting on a Saturday morning and it all just came together. It was amazing. So
amen.
Like God, just when you're looking for it and asking and praying and in the word, you know, and at that time I was far from where I am now. But just trusting in God. So, you know, those high and inside fastballs come in, and sometimes they hit you.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's right.
Trust in God. Trust in God.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's a quick story on mine. You know, when I left the military, like I said in the intro, I was not born again. And, you know, when I left the military, I didn't have a backup plan. You know, I had started selling insurance just part-time about 6 months or so before I got out. Maybe close to it. I guess I had to start studying for the test and stuff about a year out. And that's just because, you know, a friend of mine had gotten into it and had sold me a life insurance policy and, you know, told me how much he'd made off it and all that. So, wow, how you do that? And so my initial insurance sale, my prospecting technique was I come home from work, pick up the phone book, started at the A's and just started calling, you know, 25 people every night straight down the list on the phone book.
Yep.
You know? And I was getting like one sale a month. You know, it was like, you know, a couple extra $100, you know, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, when I got out of service, you know, the first thing I did was took my family to Disney World, right? Because I'd been, you know, 100%
cool.
In my mantra, and I don't recommend this, but this is where I was at, folks, right? If, you know, I had to work or get deployed or something like that, and my wife would complain about it, I'd say, hey, I married the Army before I married you. And, I mean, I was that dedicated to the military, right? And but when I got out, it hit me that, you know, I have to take care of my family. So I'm going to take everybody to Disney. We're going to Disney World for a week. Now, I didn't have a job. Yeah, didn't have income coming in because I'm now a little, but that's what we did. And on the ride home, you know, it hit me that I don't have really anything to go back to. What am I going to do now? You know, and I was praying. Like I said, I wasn't born again, but I knew enough to pray. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, driving down, everyone's asleep. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And that's it hit me. Well, I always said in the back of my mind, this insurance could be the backup plan that I'm lacking. So okay, so I got back, went down to see the general agent, and said, I need to go full-time. What do I got to do? And I'll never forget this. He's an elder guy. He's like 65 at the time. And he looked up from his desk, you know, had his glasses on, and just kind of looked over the top of his glasses and looked around me and said, see more people.
Isn't that the truth?
But I did, and that's started about an 8-year career, and it, you know, we did well until the first Gulf War came and everybody packed up and moved away. But, but anyway, like I said, that's how I got into the, you know, and the good thing is I was so good at it. After about 3 years, they promoted me where I was, you know, general agent, had my own agency, and everything was going well. I ended up with like 12 or 13 agents under me right there at Fort Hood, Texas, and you know, had 3 full-time office staff, 2 part-timers come in the evenings for setting appointments and things like that. So, I mean, it was going extremely well till everybody moved away. But that's when I ended up in Maryland and back in 2001, became a police officer, now retired. Praise God, he took care of that. But your background, you are not always born-again Christian either, right?
As a kid, I had a really good faith background and just had a great relationship with Jesus, and things were pretty dang good. And as a kid, I see kids these days that have that. I'm like, wow, that is so special. And then as time went along, became more and more difficult to, you know, be a 17-year-old kid, 18-year-old kid, 19-year-old kid, and go to church, and, you know, you start cutting corners and hanging around people that, you know, you're not having that good core group around you that are doing the right things, and you drift. And I remember one weekend, I used to work every Saturday night and every Sunday all day from 8:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. I waited tables and, made really good money. For a college kid, did pretty well. And one Sunday morning, I'd gone to church, it may have been 7 o'clock, 7:30, maybe a 7:30 mass, and I was going to stop by the house, change clothes, and go to work. And on my way home, I'd followed this lady from church and went about 2.5 miles, and she decides to make a left into an illegal left-hand turn to go into this parking lot. And I was busy changing the radio station. As I looked down, all of a sudden I felt this impact. Mm. I think it was longer than all of a sudden. I think it was maybe a second or two or 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. I think I fell asleep changing the radio station.
Oh, wow.
Bumped into the back of her. Pretty good jolt. And we pull over, and she starts just chastising me up and down and, you know, what a terrible alcoholic I am and everything. And truth was, I was an alcoholic. I just quit drinking a couple of years prior to that and hadn't drank since. I was pretty sober at the time. And I said, lady, you know, you made an illegal left-hand turn. And, well, my car isn't all so bad. I don't want to get a ticket. Let's not call the police. And I said, you know, I was following you. Actually, right before that, I said, I was actually following you from church. I was at that church service that you were at. We left the same parking lot, drove the same road. All of a sudden, she treated me differently, you know, when we discussed the legalities of what she had done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't want her to know I'd probably fallen asleep. And at that time, I had a conversation with God. I'm like, I've got this Saturday night gig. I got this Sunday morning thing, church service. And the one I can go to is also the one that I just fell asleep because I wasn't getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one other incident in the morning going to college where I had kind of dozed off a little bit and hit a curb. Mm. Thankfully, no damage. But both of those times, I was like, I could have literally died, going 40, 50, 70 miles an hour and falling asleep. So I was like, God, it's been good. It's been real. I know you're always going to be with me. You'll never abandon me. But I'm going to step aside for a while until I can figure this weekend thing out and get back in schedule and get back in rhythm. I'll catch you later.
Yeah. Amen.
And kind of, cool, thanks. Thanks, God. Like,
yeah, thanks for taking care
of giving me.
Still,
some space.
Still believing you're there, but, you know, I'll get back to you, you know?
Yeah. Appreciate you giving me space. This is a good agreement we've got. Once I figure things out, I'll be back. And then it was years later, and on a Saturday morning, me and my employer decided that I wasn't going to work there anymore. And Sunday morning, I woke up and rolled over to my wife. And the thought process was, gosh, it's Sunday morning. And just like you with the military, now what am I going to do? It was Sunday morning, and I thought to myself, I've got nothing to do at all. I always go to work on Sunday mornings. What the heck am I going to do? And I'm like, what do regular people do? There's a reason why the store I worked at and managed opened up at like 11, because regular people do something on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
They all go to some place. And I was so foggy, I had no idea. I'm like, oh yeah, church, Sunday morning, church, right. Oh yeah, and I made that promise to God that I'd go back to church as soon as my weekends were freed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now.
Yeah.
I say, hey, honey, I'm going to church. And she says, where?
Well,
the church we got married at, of course. Yeah. She says, what time? I said, I have no idea. However, I'm going to go look that up on the internet right now. Looked it up, and I said, oh, my goodness, it starts in a few minutes. I got to go. I show up back to church, and would you believe the reading and the sermons, the prodigal son?
Hello.
So God, thanks for speaking to me. Thanks for the pastor speaking directly to me. How rude of it that all these other people had to be here to listen to a sermon that was only for me.
Amen. Amen. Oh, man. It's amazing how that happens. You know, quick story. I've shared it before on the podcast, so it's nothing new to the listeners. But, you know, I had failed so miserably that, you know, at one point I was actually, I already made the decision to commit suicide so my family could live off the insurance money and catch up all the bills. And the only reason I didn't is because it was 11:30 at night. I was in Georgia trying to sell insurance. My family's back in Louisiana, and I decided, well, I'll wait till in the morning, call my kids, tell them how much I love them and all that one more time. And my wife had made me take my grandfather's Bible with me to Georgia.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, there's nothing. I mean, it was an empty apartment. It wasn't even a television in there. Just me, my computer, and a phone. I slept on the carpet on the floor. And as I once I'd, you know, because I, she had called me and said, you know, that there was a, you know, they were getting ready to do foreclosure, and then the lights were going to be turned off. She had no money for food. What were we going to do? And, you know, that's when I said, okay, well, I've had my policy for 5 years, so the income stability clause is over.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that's what I'm going to do. That way they'll know how much I love them. And it was just that peace came over. But I had been crying my eyes out, cried out to God, God, you know, I can't deal with this no more. If you can't fix it, like right now, it's over with. This how I'm gonna fix it. I'll if you can't do it, I can. And I laid down on the floor, and the light shined through the Venetian blinds from a streetlight outside, and it hit the Bible. And I remember my grandfather had a reading table where you could read the Bible through in a year in the front of his Bible.
Yeah.
So I said, well, you know, I think it'd be a good idea for me to read the Bible, so when I meet God tomorrow, I can tell him I did read his Bible.
<You know>? Okay. You're just going to knock it out tonight.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I flipped it over, and it was January 25th, 1992. And I opened the Bible and said, Psalms 34. So I started reading Psalms 34, got down to verse 7, where it said, "The Lord has heard this poor man cry and shall deliver him from all his troubles."
Oh, my goodness.
And immediately, I mean, I just got hit by the Holy Spirit. It just felt like hot oil being poured all over. I started laughing and crying and the whole nine yards. Got up, called my wife. It was 11:35 p.m. at night, Eastern time. Called my wife. She'd been born again 4 years prior and been praying for me. And
wow.
I said, she forced me to take my grandfather's Bible with me. And I called her, told her what happened. I said, I'm coming home. And the thing is, I was in Georgia trying to sell insurance. And from January 1st to January 25th, I had sold zip, nada, nothing. And I said, I'm coming home February 1st because month to month lease, I can be just as broke at home with you and the girls as I can here by myself. Well, from January 26th, the next morning, until January 31st, I sold enough insurance to catch up the bills that I had in Georgia and start catching up the bills that we had back home, you know. And but that was the night I got born again. So yeah, I it's amazing how God does this, you know. And I said all that because one of the things I told God that night was, you know, if you can fix it, great. I'll be a preacher for it. I don't care, right? But I'm done. I'm done. Well, about 3 years later, I'm out on the back porch reading the Bible. But my wife and I sitting together. It was our morning thing together. You know, she'd read her Bible. I read mine out on the back porch in Texas drinking our coffee. And I come across the Ezekiel chapter 2, and all of a sudden these words are just like echoing through my very being, you know. But, you know, he's going to, you know, I've called you to talk to, and it said, to the way I read it, the people of your own nation. I'm not sending you to a people in a foreign land. If I send you to them, they'd listen, but I'm sending you to the people of your own land. They won't want to hear what you got to say, but that's all right, because I made your head harder than their heads, and I've always been called, I was a hard head, right? So, but anyway, and I said, nope, you got the wrong guy. And the Lord said, did you lie to me? I said, no.
Yeah.
No, I never lied to you. And he replayed what I prayed that night, where I said, I'll be a preacher for you. I don't care. You know? And I said, did you lie to me when you said that? And I said, no. And here I am, you know, 25 years later. But you know, it was just, but yeah, when God speaks to you like that, it's so loud and it's so obvious. Nobody else, I mean, we're sitting on the porch, and I guess all the blood drained out of my face because my wife looked up and said, what's wrong? I was like, nothing. I just read this wrong. And I went back and it said the same thing. Amen. Now, part of your story, though, is how you went from a high-income job to no income at all. You know, so how did that shape what you're doing today?
Yeah, so part of it was that story, you know, crossing the bridge. I was just before that was when the high-income job ended, and I really didn't know quite what path. I thought I'd just start my own agency and not really knowing much about anything as far as insurance goes. And then that led me to take a lower paying job and in the insurance business where I could get it, be in a training position and, you know, but no income. And my wife was pregnant with our first daughter at that same time. And like people say, well, how'd you do it? I'm like, well, like you said earlier, I had no backup plan. This was the only plan, and this one was going to work. And, you know, thankfully God put the right people in my life at the right time. As I was filtering and making decisions, I had planned to write a big check, kind of empty out the bank account and start my own agency. Mm-hmm. And on a Sunday, there was a guy sitting at a table right after church. We're doing that thing that that some people do on Sundays, eat donuts. So it was a famous day at church. It was Donut Sunday. And this guy, Mark, was sitting at the table, not my table, but the table next to me with his wife. And all my buddies had been saying, man, you got to go talk to Mark. You got to go talk to Mark. Great guy. Not sure, you know, why, but you just have to talk to him because he's been in the business a long time and he can help. So he, little did I know, he'd had a surgery, so he was never at the Saturday morning men's group where everybody kept pointing at which seat was his. Mm-hmm. Never there. Oh, no, he'll be back next week. Well, he had a serious injury, and his guys do. Hey, man, how are you? I'm good. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, he was in the hospital. How are you? I'm good. In parentheses, I'm in the hospital. The doctors are taking care of me. I'll be all right. And sure enough, he gets out of the hospital, and he's sitting at that table, and his wife gets up, goes to the car to pull the car up, and he's alone. So I jump up and, hey, Mark, I'm Dan, all of our buddies, and I name like 20 guys.
Yeah.
Told me to talk to you, and I got a quick question for you. Can I talk to you for just a second? And he says, no. And I said, okay, then. My guess is your job is to get from here to the car as fast as possible. Your wife's pulling it up, my guess is. He goes, well, that's right. I said, and that would have been walked with you to the car? He says, well, I guess that would be all right. You know, he's got one job.
Amen.
I guess it'd be all right if I walk with you and talk with you. So I gave him my quick little 1 minute of where I was and what my plans were. And within 60 seconds, he stops and says, can I ask you some questions? I said, that's on you. I'm not stopping and getting and accomplishing your mission, but if you stop and ask me questions, I'm game.
Amen.
He asked me a few more questions. He says, how the heck did you figure this out so quick, this insurance business? It seems like you got an understanding of it. And I said, well, again, I had no other choice. I'm like, I tried a few different things and got some education and some learning, and it's go time.
Yeah.
And he said, and I told him, I said, tomorrow's the day where I'm going to write a big check and start an agency and all that. And he says, could you delay that, you know, for a little bit? And I said, well, I need a good reason. And I said, sometimes you just got to put a start date in and draw a line in the sand, and that's just it. Dig your heels in and go. And he says, well, I'd like you to come down to my agency and check everything out. And I won't be there, but you can talk to the accountant, you can use the software, you can, you know, whatever you want to do. I said, well, that does sound like a good idea. Actual hands-on, real working knowledge of what it will be like after I sign this dang check. And thankfully, everything worked out together. He's now a business partner of mine. And as Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that day I had hope, and I could see what my future was, and I trusted Mark was a great man, and he had plenty of testimonials saying that, you know, he's a really good guy and treated people fairly, and, you know, he was just a man of Christ at that time because he had that physical injury. It's like, actually lost his leg. He had had a surgery just the other day and had it taken off, and he says, man, I'm so thankful for my physical injury, because I wouldn't be, you know, as close to Jesus as I am now. He says, before I was about it, now I'm in it. Now I read the Bible every day, you know. He says, so I'm thankful I don't have a leg. I'm like, what? That's faith right there. He goes, he changed the course for me. He goes, I could have lived my life a certain way. But I, you know, I was getting along. Things were okay. I didn't really have problems, and I wasn't all that close to the Lord. I wasn't all that far either, but I was just doing the same thing, and that altered my course, and I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Amen. My gosh.
And it's amazing, you know, because you talk about Jeremiah 29:11. I have a wallet, and there's a metal placard on the wallet, and that scripture is on there. So every time I pull out the wallet, it's right there. You know?
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, seriously, you can have a mindset of all this stuff happens to me, all this negativity mm-hmm. around me and all that. But yep. if you just go back to that,
yeah.
and it really helps if you have other people also that have a mindset of abundance and prosperity and mm-hmm. just believing in God and being able to have conversations that really can just yeah. change the way, you know, the mountains aren't mountains anymore. They're just little speed bumps. You know, yeah. Times get tough, but they just don't feel as tough as they used to.
Yeah. Well, I told you my dedication to the military was 100%, 110%.
Yeah.
And when I got out, I mean, you know, I was an officer, so, you know, when you get passed over, you know, you have no option. And so that's, you know, what happened to me. And it was like, well, you know, I mean, I was bitter, angry, unless I wasn't born again. But, you know, I look back now. I got out in 89, 91 is when the first Gulf War kicked up, and, you know, they've been going 20 years. But in the CAV, matter of fact, our squadron was attached to the CAV division that made that end run going around Iraq to come in from behind.
Mm-hmm.
That was mm-hmm. we would have been part of that. I would have been promoted, and I would have been in charge of some troops for that. So, you know, who knows what God was keeping me from, you know.
Yes, but, you for know, sure.
And, you know, then, you know, he had the insurance that provided for us right then. And then, you know, when everything packed up and left, it's like, okay, now what? And he got me, I'm a cop or was a cop, and that provided the pension, the retirement. I mean, it, you know, and I look back at it and I think, you know, and just getting hurt on the job as a cop. You know, I've had like 34 different medical procedures done since 2007. And I look back and I say, you know, if it wasn't for what happened in 1989, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. If it wasn't for,
right.
you know, being in the insurance business, making these contacts and all that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And if it wasn't for being hurt on the job as a cop, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today.
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
All these pieces of the puzzle just come floating together when you look at it from, you know, the end game perspective. Like, wow, you know, that you recovered that fumble down on the other goal line, and now here you are, world champions type thing. Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Dan Weeks. Folks, this is a great interview. I mean, Dan's background, my background, although not exactly identical, we have enough crossed paths there that we can both relate to what each other has gone through in our life and the turmoil and the anguish and as well as the successes. And that comes out during this interview. Matter of fact, we had such a great interview. This was just part one of a three-part interview. Praise God. I can't encourage you enough to get in touch with Dan. Go down, click the link to his podcast, subscribe to his podcast, Journey of a Christian Dad podcast. Folks, it is just a great discussion he has there. And you need to listen. If you're a dad, you need to listen to this. If you're listening to this and, you know, you're the wife and you want your husband to listen to it, make sure they do so because they're going to get so much out of it. It is that great of a podcast. And go to the Facebook group and subscribe there as well, Journey of a Christian Dad on Facebook. And then come back for the next episode. Remember, this was just part one of a three-part interview. So you're just going to want to stay with us during this whole series. Okay, till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.